Welcome once again to Great Stories About Great Storytellers, where I get to share the unusual and little-known backstories of famous authors, directors, and poets. I'm your host, Dr. Randy Overbeck, and while I'm a storyteller myself with 5 published novels, including my best-selling series, The Haunted Shore Mysteries, I'm certainly not in the league of the storytellers I feature on this podcast. However, today, before I get started, I have a confession to make. You see, the storyteller I've selected for this episode is not really a director, certainly not a poet, and barely a novelist. But he is a storyteller who has had a profound effect on our stories and our culture. I'm talking about Gene Roddenberry. Yes, that Gene Roddenberry of Star Trek fame. Eugene Wesley Roddenberry, 1921 to 1991, grew up in Los Angeles where his father was a police officer. During World War II, he flew 89 combat missions for the Army Air Corps and after the war became a commercial pilot. He then followed in his father's footsteps and joined the Los Angeles Police Department in 1949. There, he rose from the Transportation Division to the Newspaper Unit to the Public Information Division, eventually becoming the speechwriter for the Chief of Police himself. Roddenberry also became the LAPD liaison for the popular Dragnet series, which gave him his coveted entry into the fledgling world of TV screenwriting. Although Roddenberry's name is today synonymous with futuristic sci-fi, his early TV work was anything but. He wrote scripts for such successful shows as Highway Patrol, Have Gun, Will Travel, Bat Masterson, The Lieutenant, and The Jane Wyman Show. Roddenberry became known for his persistence and his set of values. For example, during this time, he was asked to write a series called Riverboat, set in the 1890s Mississippi. But when he learned the producers wanted no black people in the show, he argued so much with them that he lost the job. By 1961, though, he had secured a contract from Screen Gems as a screenwriter for $100,000. That would be a little over $1 million today. And he was able to consider other stories. He began discussing the idea of a multi-ethnic crew on a spaceship traveling the universe, based loosely on the 1961 film Master of the World. But he recognized the market was not ready yet for his science fiction, so he kept working on his cop shows like The Lieutenant. Still, getting his Star Trek off the ground proved to be quite the challenge. He first pitched the idea to MGM, where it was warmly received, but they made no offer on it. Undaunted, Roddenberry went to Desilu Productions, of the I Love Lucy fame. They also didn't pick up the script, but instead hired Gene as a producer on other shows. At Desilu, he took the Star Trek concept to the head of programming, George Katz, and the duo immediately began a plan to sell it to the networks. First, they approached CBS, who feigned interest, but as it turns out, only because they had their own series, sci-fi series, in development, Lost in Space. Next, they went to NBC, but instead of focusing on the sci-fi angle, they pitched the series' resemblance to successful shows like Gunsmoke and Wagon Train. NBC first requested 3 episodes as pilots, then later contracted Roddenberry and Desilu Productions for 13 total episodes, and Star Trek was born. In September 1966, 5 days before the show was to debut on network television, Roddenberry, looking for a way to hedge his bets, took the initial two episodes, Where No Man Has Gone Before, and The Cage, to the World Science Fiction Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. When the showings were finished, the audience gave Roddenberry and Star Trek a standing ovation. Later that month, the first episode of Star Trek was aired on Saturday night, and science fiction stories on both the big screen and the small screen have never been the same. You see, before Roddenberry's Star Trek, most sci-fi offerings were silly, unrealistic, and definitely not scientific. Shows like My Favorite Martian, The Jetsons, Lost in Space come to mind. But that didn't mean audiences were ready for Roddenberry's vision. Star Trek had a bumpy road from the beginning, almost getting canceled after the first and second season, and then getting the axe at the end of the third season. But that proved to be only the first of several lives of this story. Star Trek did so well in syndication, in fact, the most popular show in syndication, Paramount asked Roddenberry to do a new series based on the concept to launch a new network. Though that new network did not happen, this led to the development of a new movie, Star Trek The Motion Picture, the first of five successful movies initially. Oh, and by the way, Roddenberry's only claim as an author is the novelization of this movie script. And those who follow Star Trek realize a new series was in fact used to launch a new informal network in 1987 with Star Trek The Next Generation, also created by Gene Roddenberry. It turns out those fans at the 1966 sci-fi convention were right. Roddenberry's invention of Star Trek, now in its ninth series on Paramount Plus, became the crown jewel and the single most important property owned by Paramount. And that's saying a lot. Roddenberry earned more than a few accolades for his remarkable storytelling. He was the first TV writer to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He earned the Writers Guild of America Award for Best Episodic Drama. His work with the original series earned him 2 Emmys and 5 Hugo Awards. In the original series, Roddenberry successfully wrote the first interracial kiss on network television and was awarded the Brotherhood Award from the NAACP for this and other public stands he took on racial equality. He has a crater and an asteroid named after him. And posthumously, he was awarded the Robert Heinlein Memorial Award and the Public Service Medal from NASA. But even his visionary imagination did not always result in successful or popular stories. After a word from this episode's sponsor, the Mighty Books Podcast, I'll share a bit about Roddenberry's flops and maybe what we can.
Hey, all you story enthusiasts. My name is author Ryan M. Oliver, and I host the Mighty Books Podcast, a show that is tailor-made for you readers, writers, and authors who are seeking stimulating conversations, writing advice, and yes, even a great story. A podcast that interviews authors of every genre from around the globe. A show that dives deep into what makes authors and their books mighty. So come join me, author Ryan M. Oliver, as we talk books. Because let's face it, the world is better with stories. Thanks for your time. Stay mighty and keep reading.
The universe of Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek has been so daunting. 12 major motion pictures and 9 different series so far. Whether it's judged by dollars or fans or followers, it would be logical to think that the mind who created this new world would have many more ingenious stories of the future to share. And he did, though they never received much traction. In 1972, he imagined a new series, Genesis 2, about a post-apocalyptic Earth, even creating a 45-page writing guide for the series. The pilot aired as a TV movie in March of 1972, setting new records for the Thursday night time slot and even earning a Hugo Award. It was initially going to be picked up by CBS, but instead got ousted by a series based on Planet of the Apes. The next year, Roddenberry, with Star Trek partner Gene Kuhn, created The Questor Tapes, a series about an android in search of its creator. Like Genesis 2, the pilot was launched as a movie in January of 1974 to positive critical response and grabbed another Hugo Award. But not much happened with the series after that. Although Roddenberry tried his hands at other endeavors, such as writing and producing Pretty Maids All in a Row, a sexploitation film, and Spectre, an occult detective duo akin to Holmes and Watson's, nothing seemed to have staying power. Eventually, the popularity of his Star Trek concept drew him back again and again, and he returned to his first sci-fi love. Maybe your first love is your best love. Speaking of which, I'd like to take this chance to highlight my newest novel, Cruel Lessons. You see, this amateur sleuth mystery about a drug dealer pushing hallucinogens to middle schoolers is my latest, but it is also my first. I conceived the original narrative almost 30 years ago, and it has waited in a virtual drawer all that time until I had the skills to tell the story well. Of course, I'm not in the league with Gene Roddenberry, but the critics have been impressed with my new work. One of the best mysteries of 2023, penned readersview.com, and NN Like Bookhaven called it brilliant from start to finish. One of the best thrillers I've ever read. I'd appreciate it if you'd check out Cruel Lessons anywhere you get your books or at my website, www.authorrandyoverbeck.com. There you can also find this and all the other episodes of great stories about great storytellers. Speaking of which, check us out next month when I'll reveal the backstory of none other than the incomparable American writer, John Steinbeck. Until next time, keep reading those great stories, and I hope at least one of them is mine.